Hey, everybody. It's time for Beyond the Matrix. This is the show that wants you to get out of that box of conventional thinking. And whew, boy, do we need that at these times of challenge on this planet. So it's about being outside of the matrix, beyond the realm of conventional thought, soaring with the free thinkers of this world. And we've got one on tonight as usual. I always try to do my best to bring you the brave voices of alternatives to the status quo. Before I bring on my guest, I would like to just tell you a few things that are going on. Please check with IFAW to help them. Apparently, there are 100 wild elephants that are about to be shot because they're stampeding into the people's territory that we've taken away from the animals in Malawi, and they're appealing to people to please help, to send donations so that they can save these elephants. It's a big, big task. They've got to, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need the funds and our support to try to save these 100 elephants, of whom many are babies, from torturous death. So don't mean to start off on a bummer, but if you can bring yourself to find even $5 to help IFAW, I think their website is ifaw.org. Malawi elephants, see what you can do to reach into your pocket and save 100 wild elephants from a torturous death. Okay, that's my spiel for the animals for the moment. I'm going to go right ahead now and introduce my fascinating guest. His name is Paul Winter. He has a very interesting background, a battle that he has won with cancer. His life is dedicated, as far as I've understood it, to alternative healing methods, particularly focused on cancer. I thought it was very important to have him with us today and to find out what he has to say about that. So please welcome Paul Winter. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you for that.
Thanks for coming on.
And also, thank you for pushing the awareness.
I usually have some kind of a cause I'm fighting for here, so it's very important that we unite forces.
Yes.
Hey, producer, we've got a little reverb here. If you can adjust that, would be nice. And they're adjusting things to make things better for us. So if you've got a little reverb, hang in there because it'll be soon gone. All right, Paul, thank you for being there. You know, when you first contacted me and you said, I've got something to say, I was so enthused. I've lost a lot of friends to cancer. You've lost your sister to cancer, and you yourself have battled and won against cancer, right?
Yes, although it wasn't much of a fight. I mostly sat in my garden and read books and took some supplements. I didn't have to go with
that. Reminds me of a story I heard about a famous doctor who locked himself up in a cabin in the mountains and brought all of his favorite funny material and laughed his way out of cancer. Let's talk about these kinds of ideas.
Yes, that's tremendously powerful. It was way back in 1989 that the Medical Association finally did the testing and, you know, hooked people up to certain instruments and found out that laughter instantly started to reduce symptoms. I consider laughter such an important thing that I've spent 15 years collecting jokes. You know, a lot of people send you jokes, and half of the jokes, or even more than half, aren't really very funny. But for 15 years, I collected all the funny ones, and now I put them in a book, and I encourage everybody to purchase that book. If anybody purchases anything from me, I give them 20% off on the book. I think the book might be my most potent healing tool.
But you're not the doctor that laughed his way out of cancer, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I don't want to confuse it. All right, well, we'll be talking about your book in a minute, but I'd like to start out by giving people a little bit of a background into, because you're not a doctor, but you are an alternative healer, and I saw your impressive list of self-taught cancer healing. So I need a little background from you so that everyone knows who's listening in who you are, what you're doing, how you got to this place of being a fighter, or I think you don't like this word fighting, so let's say a winner of bringing wisdom to people and helping people look at alternatives to the cancer debacle.
Well, thank you. I did start out as an engineer for Hughes Aircraft, fixing problems that other people couldn't fix. And I think that's essential for a healer, to learn how to fix things. I believe that is one of the problems that doctors have. They associate symptoms with pharmaceutical drugs. They don't really look at how to fix things.
Hold on a minute, Paul. Hey, producer, Paul's blanking out on me. Please help. Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I've
got a little glitch in your sound here, so I'm hoping our producer can fix that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I started out as an engineer for Hughes Aircraft, fixing things that other people weren't able to fix, and I think that sort of training is essential for a healer. I believe that type of training is missing in conventional doctors. They don't really learn how to fix things. When I decided to leave engineering and become a full-time writer, I started immediately writing books on alternative health because that had been something that I was interested in for a long time. I had an accident when I was 16, a gymnastics accident, and my parents took me to a chiropractor, and I was shocked. I said, oh, there's something else besides doctors? And he was tremendous. He really helped me a great deal, and the doctors weren't able to. I would like to give a message to other gymnasts out there. Always warm up. I had the serious injury when I didn't warm up that one time. So when I learned about Cantron, a friend of mine just sent me a newspaper article about Cantron.
Oh, wait a minute. You're getting a little bit ahead of yourself. Before you talk about that, can you just tell us about your own experience with cancer and the sad, I'm sorry to say that you lost your sister at such a young age to cancer?
Well,
can you talk about that before we go on to the treatments?
Sure. She actually died of complications from chemo, not from the cancer. And I thought that was outrageous, that the medicine had actually killed her. She had Hodgkin's, and she did fight it for a long time. Matter of fact, because of this alternative background that my parents and the family had, she learned visualizations and actually taught visualizations to other cancer patients. And I think visualizations are extremely important. The mind is very good at actually reducing the size of all sorts of growths. It's one of the reasons why hypnosis is so important in cancer treatment. But hypnosis has to be done right, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about cancer, so that the hypnosis is done incorrectly, which is why I've been a hypnotherapist for 15 years, but it's why I knew I had to make my own hypnosis CD to have it done correctly. So my struggle with cancer was not much of a struggle because I had seen so many people who had recovered, and I understood what cancer really is. It's interesting that the theory of cancer, that it makes the most sense. It's 100 years old. It's never been disproven. But conventional medicine doesn't like to recognize it because it implies that cancer is a nutritional deficiency disease, or at least a nutritional disease. But the turboplast theory of cancer proposed by Professor Beard 100 years ago makes the most sense and gives a pathway immediately how to treat cancer. Basically, you want to improve your pancreas health. The theory is that...
Your voice is breaking up, so I've missed a piece of what you've said. All right, you're talking about the theory, and you said that it was the most valid theory, but I didn't hear you say what this theory is.
Yes, the Beard theory of cancer, it's a little bit easier to remember that term, is that cancer is actually a failure of the pancreas to stop the growth of some fast-growing healing cells. And these healing cells are growing only to kind of hold the area open and hold the space for the slower-growing, let's say, lung cells or kidney cells. And because our pancreas is so overworked due to so much sugar and carbohydrates and stress in our lives, that, sometimes the pancreas cannot turn off these fast-growing healing cells. So, you know, right away there's a very simple method of prevention and treatment, which is to take pancreatic enzymes. And
now Dr. Beard is suggesting that all cancer is generated from the pancreas?
Well, I would like to say that if the cancer is not a failure, if this growth is not a failure of the pancreas, then we shouldn't call it cancer. So
That's pretty fascinating. You're going to be here on my show. You've got an audience with many healers listening in, and a lot of us, I'm a healer as well. I used to do one-on-one healing. And, you know, obviously, from the metaphysical point of view, we look at cancer as the body holding blocked energy that simply isn't getting released, and then so it begins to well up inside of the body, this excess or blocked energy until it forms, it actually metastasizes as physical illness. What I'm talking about is emotion or mental thought forms that aren't cleared at the astral levels, aren't cleared in the emotional, the mental body, and finally metastasize as physical illness. So how does that, that's a theory, of course, of many, but how do you feel about that perspective?
Well, I think the energetic approach to cancer is absolutely essential. I've worked with, I'm actually psychically trained, Berkeley Psychic Institute, about 30 years of practice.
Berkeley Psychic Institute?
Yes.
Oh, that's my neighborhood. I'm from San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, perhaps you're familiar with their school. But the thing I like about them is that they teach a tremendous amount of protection. And healers who work with sick people really need to be protected from picking up that sort of energy all the time. So they have an excellent course, and their postgraduate course I avoided, but their undergraduate courses I think are fabulous. And working with cancer people, and working with other healers, what I've come to believe is that, of course, there are going to be serious blocks in a cancer patient, but I also believe that there is this intelligent negative energy that some people call an entity, and entities are
entity?
Almost, yes, entity. Entity is mm-hmm. almost always present in a cancer patient and needs to be cleared. I offer that service free to anyone who purchases a test kit or a CD or a book. And if they don't, I charge $20 for that service. I do it remotely. Remotely is fine.
I'd rather you don't discuss the services that you offer on the interview. We will certainly refer people to your website at the end of the interview so that you can tell people directly what you offer. But I'd prefer that we don't interrupt the discussion now to talk about those things, if you don't mind, so that we don't lose the flow here.
Yeah.
Okay, what you're saying now is that you find that let me get this right. In your observations, cancer patients usually have some kind of psychic attachment.
Yes.
Whew!
Most often.
This you experience on a one-on-one healing when you work with people, or do you experience this as a hypnotherapist?
When I work on people...
Sorry, that's a confusing question. I realize hypnotherapy is one-on-one, too. I was referring to the psychic healing versus the hypnotherapy. Does the entity come out during the session?
Yes, I notice the entity energy when I'm doing an energetic healing, not if I'm doing a hypnotherapy healing.
Mm, that's very interesting. As a healer, I used to do psychic healing, and it was amazing how many times I was confronted with these entities. And I think more and more people who are doing psychic healing, whether they like it or not, it seems, eventually run into these little critters. Can you speak to this, what this thought form really is? What are these entities?
I can give you an example. I was working on a man, and the entity appeared to me. I could see a silhouette, And I was immediately reminded of Abraham Lincoln. And I, after the session, I said, so is there anyone in your life that looks like Abraham Lincoln? And he says to me, my father did. And I said, and so tell me about your father. And he said to me that his father died when the man was very young. So the father was not able to watch his son grow and develop. And my understanding of what happens at that point is that the father's energy, and you could call it a ghost or entity, remains with the son because he doesn't want to miss this development of the son. However, you can imagine a father watching a son make all these mistakes that, you know, people make and doing the naughty things that boys do and being very angry with the son and therefore basically trying to punish him for making these mistakes and doing these bad things. So the relationship between the energy and the person becomes very hostile and, of course, destructive. And that's...
Yeah. Don, so about this cutting out, you've got to see what you can do to fix that, please. I can bear, I'm not getting all the words here. Something similar happened in a session that I had when I was healing someone. She had breast cancer, and she had been through two rounds of chemo and had come basically to my studio just because she wanted comfort because she was going through yet another round of chemo, and she was looking for some support just to deal with the chemo. And when we started to do the session, and I had her look over, I did the kind of work where I had people look into a mirror and look at their form, and
yes.
She saw a black hole over her heart, which, of course, is where the cancer was. And when she was guided to look into this heart, she saw her father's coffin as a child. The reason why it's interesting is it's similar to what you've said. She wasn't allowed to say goodbye. Her mother died when she was four. He remarried, and when she was six, he died, and the stepmother would not let her come to the funeral. So I really, I want to say convinced, of course, it's only subjective, but I feel that that cancer formed in her heart, I mean, in her breast, right over that black hole that she held within her all her life because she never got to say goodbye.
Yes, this is actually very typical. Women tend to get breast cancer about a year after their mother passes. And this negative energy needs to be released and worked on. Patricia, I'm sure you're familiar with tapping as a
mm-hmm.
means for negative release, negative energy release.
Yes,
and,
I am, but would you like to tell the audience about that? Because it's very valid to what we're talking about now.
Yes, I believe that this technique of tapping on acupuncture points while repeating an affirmation is extremely valuable, and one of the really excellent things about it is that it's easy to learn so that a person can do it themselves and they don't have to go to a practitioner and pay quite a bit of money, that and they can do it daily. And I've often said that cancer is the emotional disease, and if a person
mm-hmm.
learns this tapping technique, they can release negative energies, hostilities, and stress and greatly help their healing process.
Okay, now would be a great time to talk about your website. It's www.alternativecancer.us. U.S.?
Yes,
alternativecancer.us?
Yes. The U.S. is actually a sign that the person's company is public, not publicly traded, but that you can find the address of the company, the phone number of the company, the actual people who run the company. I don't hide anything. Everything is out in the open.
Great. I just never seen this .us before. It must be relatively new.
Yes, it is fairly new, but it's a sign that it's a more reputable company, more responsible company. And that's
we like that. Okay. So we're speaking with Paul Winter, and we're talking about alternative healing for cancer. His site is alternativecancer.us, and we're talking tonight about the various aspects of alternative healing with cancer. He will later tell you his specific work and what's available through his website and talking directly with him. But we're not there yet. We're going to be talking about, I'd like to talk about how the National Cancer Institute and doctors in general feel about your saying that there are alternatives to treatment, and I'm sure you have so much resistance. How do you deal with that?
Well, of course, you know, they say what they want to say to patients and to other doctors, and there's really no debate between them and myself. I do know that when an alternative cancer treatment is forced upon the National Cancer Institute for testing, they cheat and lie. For instance, the treatment called Cantron was forced upon, actually at that time was called CanCell. It was forced upon NCI, and some senator demanded that they test it. So they tested it, and even though it was a slow-working treatment, they tested it as if it was a chemo, which is a very fast-working treatment, and so the test only ran 2 days. Regardless of the fact that it ran 2 days, CanCell did fabulously well in the test against 60 different types of cancers. It reduced the mass of the cancer tumor or the cancer cells by 80% in most cases. That's phenomenal performance.
In 2 days?
In 2 days.
So what is CanCell?
It's an electrolytic formula. It's sold now as Cantron and Protocell. And Cantron recently came out with it in pill form. The Cantron people are really excellent. They have a fabulous refund policy. You know, if there's a little bit left in the bottom of the bottle, 5 years later, they'll give you a full refund. I love these people. And what it does, it, oh, yeah, isn't that great? And then the Protocell people will not give you your money back if the bottle's open. So Cantron are the people to deal with, even though the formulas are, you know, the same ingredients.
So it's an electrolyte?
Yes, and really what it does is it affects the ATP energy in the cells, and it reduces it a very specific
amount.
Remember,
not everybody knows your lingo here.
Yeah, ATP energy.
What is the ATP count?
ATP energy is related to the voltage in a cell. And what it stands for is so long I can't pronounce it, but it actually affects the voltage potential in a cell. Normal cells have no problem with this, but cancer cells and very interestingly viruses cannot handle this change, and it doesn't kill them directly. It interferes with their ability to get energy or to feed. So they start to starve themselves to death. And in a few weeks, usually they're all dead. The action is very similar to antioxidants. As a matter of fact, the Cantron people had Cantron tested by an independent lab, and the lab results came back saying that Cantron was the most powerful antioxidant they had ever tested and the only one that got all three types of free radicals. So it's a fabulous preventative. If you just take, you know, one small dose a day, you have a fabulously powerful antioxidant. And,
okay, but let's go backtracking here. Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting that Cantron heals cancer?
I did a little study to satisfy myself, and it was 50% successful on cancer patients, most of whom who had already been given up on by conventional medicine. They were, you know, advanced cancers. So it is an effective cancer treatment.
And now here's a question. I'm sure you know this fact. How many people who go through chemo, what's the percentage of healing or remission in chemotherapy patients?
Well, you know, there's lots of different numbers for that. The number I believe, I've seen numbers as low as 3%, but the number I believe is 15%.
This is pretty revolutionary information. If you're telling me that, and I'm not challenging you, I'm just doing the devil's advocate here, and I don't like to use that term either. If this is provable, and you've got between 3% and 15% remission from chemo, the horrible chemotherapy procedure,
That's 15% 5-year survival, because you can get remission, but a year later you get reoccurrence, I don't think that counts.
No.
So it's 5-year survival for chemo patients, I believe, is around 15%.
And with the Cantron, you're saying 50% are healed, or 50% have a 5-year survival?
Well, I didn't check all the way into the 5 years. I checked more like 2 and 3 years. But the thing is that when chemo, and the study has been done to show this, when chemo attacks cancer cells, the tumor breaks up and floats around. So it's not really an effective treatment. It makes the next X-ray look good, but the person's very likely to have reoccurrence. But the way that Cantron works, the person is very unlikely to have a reoccurrence, especially if they, change their lifestyle.
Why? How does it work? This is what is not clear. You said it changes the electrical charge inside the cancer cell.
Inside all the cells of the body. This interferes with the ability of the cell to feed itself, to get energy. And cancer cells cannot handle that. Normal cells, can handle that just fine.
So why? Why can the normal cells handle it and the cancer cells not?
Well, normal cells are much more complicated. They're much more robust. Cancer cells are meant to be temporary. They're very primitive. They don't operate the same way that a normal cell operates. Cancer cells get their energy from a process very similar to fermentation, and that's why tumors are so hungry for sugar. But normal cells get their energy from a process more similar to oxygenation. So they're completely different processes, and the oxygenation process can take this change, whereas this fermentation type of process doesn't operate after this change happens.
I see. So what's the here's a question for you, because anyone who's been through any medical Western medical, I'm talking about orthodox or standard conventional medicine, and by the way, I always want to announce that I'm not necessarily speaking against conventional medicine. There's a lot of good medicine being practiced, so put that in there so that nobody gets their feelings hurt. But we do know that there's very little suggestion when somebody's going in for cancer in the medical field for alternative treatments. It's usually straight to the various forms of treatment, which are chemo and radiation. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. What happens after, let's suggest that a person starts the chemo, because we know that besides breaking up the cell, which makes perfect sense to me, and moving it around, it's also killing healthy cells, right?
Yes, it kills any fast-growing cells. For instance, all the lining of your digestive system is eliminated, and of course that makes you very sick. It kills your immune system. It wipes out your immune system, so you're very susceptible to any type of viral or bacterial infection. And actually, that's what killed my sister. She got pneumonia because chemo wiped out her immune system. So it's an extremely dangerous thing.
It blows my mind that it seems to me such a primitive, that the best we have been able to come up with in conventional medicine is chemo and radiation. knowing that it just makes sense that it would be very hard to survive rounds and rounds of this kind of treatment. And I'm just curious, if someone has already begun this process and they're not getting better, or let's say they go through a round and they have that temporary up that we know about, can they then begin an alternative treatment, or has the chemo done too much damage?
Well, chemo does a tremendous amount of damage. Usually there's a recovery period before alternative treatments can really help much, because alternative treatments are, in the most case, building the body back up, and chemo is tearing it back down. So there's, you've lost ground already. So it doesn't make any sense to take the treatments that have severe side effects before you take the treatments that don't have any side effects. People do it
right, what I'm suggesting is, let's say that somebody right now is listening to the show and they've already been through a round of chemo and they're desperate to find help. Would they be able to switch to the treatments that you're going to talk about and hope for improvement, or would the chemo have already done too much damage for this kind of alternative healing to have impact?
Well, one round of chemo is not too bad. The more chemo you take, of course, the longer it takes for you to recover. You will eventually recover, and when you do recover, then alternative cancer treatments can help. Sometimes the alternative cancer treatments can help the recovery. They can reduce the side effects. So starting alternative cancer treatments at any time is really not going to hurt you. A lot of doctors say, I don't want you to take anything other than this chemo because it might interfere with the chemo. And I've never seen any evidence that conventional medicine could interfere with chemo. Usually alternative medicines help reduce the side effects of chemo.
Mm-hmm.
So, personally.
Yeah, in fact, the side effects of chemo are so horrific. It's just very difficult to see people that you love going through this process.
Yes, it's horrible. Yeah.
Okay, well, so you're going to tell us about the different kinds of treatment that you provide. That would be information that you disperse on the net, of course, at your site, alternativecancer.us, and you also do coaching and one-on-one healing, is that right?
Yes. However, I don't...
And you open this enzyme available.
I don't sell any of the supplements or the enzymes that I talk about on my website, and that way people know that I'm not prejudiced to any particular one.
That's good to hear.
Yeah,
sell. Okay, so can you tell us because I imagine you have a number of different alternative treatments that you would like to discuss with us? Yes.
Yes, there are dozens of alternative cancer treatments out there. Most of them are plant-based, and most people are starting to realize now that plant-based treatments cannot be prescribed by a doctor because they cannot be patented. No matter how well they work, most doctors are not allowed to prescribe such treatments unless the doctor is a naturopath. And that's a much better doctor to go to when you have cancer, because the plant-based medicines are better. Cancer is a degenerative disease that is typical that chronic degenerative diseases, are cured by plant-based medicine. For instance, the biggest killer of sailors in the 1700s, and when Britain was a very powerful country, the biggest killer was not battles out at sea, but the biggest killer of seamen was scurvy. And the Indians show the British how to cure scurvy with pine needles and things that happen to contain vitamin C. It took the British 100 years before they would accept this cure. But once they accepted it, they became extremely powerful because their sailors were now not dropping like most sailors were. But but it took 100 years to convince the doctors in England that these Indians had the right idea, that it was of vitamin C in food.
And this is a very valid thing. It brings it into perspective for people that, you know, for example, people still get very sick from scurvy. People who are malnutritioned or don't have enough vitamin C in their diet can still get scurvy.
Yes. And the cure for scurvy is plant-based medicine or vitamin C.
Hold on a minute. Well, I think we've got a call in. Do we, Don? No, I guess not. But this would be a good time to invite people to call in while we're talking with Paul Winter about alternative cancer and healing techniques.
So cancer is similar to scurvy in that it is a chronic degenerative disease. And the plant-based treatments are excellent, and probably the best one was learned from the Indians. Imagine that, American Indians. A plant-based treatment called pawpaw, like the thing that a dog has on the end of its leg. It's a silly name, but it's a fabulous treatment. It's another treatment that, among it, the functions that it performs, it reduces ATP energy again, just like Cantron does. And it has other functions that are a little similar to conventional medicine, but they're not so aggressive. It was made by the Indians in the Southeast and used for many years by them for cancer. One of the interesting things about this treatment, pawpaw, is that a one-month supply costs $35. And one injection or one IV of chemo is costing upwards of $7,000. So you start to see how difficult it might be for a doctor to say, no, I'm not going to recommend chemo anymore. I'm only going to recommend these plant-based medicines. In most states, if a doctor did that, he would go to jail. He wouldn't not just lose his license. He would actually go to jail. It's a felony in most states for doctors to even talk about alternative cancer treatments.
That's amazing. Especially we do see now that we see the legislation. We know that they're trying to take away all alternative supplements, everything, and make this controlled by the FDA. So I think it's pretty clear to see where that's all headed.
Yep, money. Follow the money.
All right. So let's say that someone who's listening right now is confronting this horrible disease and needs to talk to you about how to go about approaching finding the right alternative cancer cure. How do they begin?
Well, I am a firm believer in muscle testing, and I also believe that although these alternative cancer treatments work well and they seem to work on all types of cancers, they don't seem to work on everyone. Matter of fact, most of them seem to work on a minority of the people. It seems that a person's body chemistry is more important than the type of cancer they have. So a person can't say, well, I have this type of cancer, then I should take that type of alternative cancer treatment. It doesn't seem to work that way. So what you need to do is muscle test. I believe the way to do this is to get a whole bunch of cancer treatments, alternative cancer treatments, and muscle test them so you can quickly, you know, in one sitting, find out which is the one your body wants to take.
In other words, like kinesiology.
Yes. I think kinesiology is, you know, cancer is absolutely the right disease to use kinesiology with because, you know, you don't really have time.
Okay.
And none of the treatments seem to work on for everyone. So I'm a firm believer in doing the kinesiology. Doing that approach.
And, of course, obviously, when you're talking about body chemistry, one obviously goes to the point of thought that, as you were saying earlier, prevention, of course, is going to be so important for us, more and more, especially in the toxic environments we're in. So you are suggesting that it's important that this, you were talking about, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of this product. Cantron?
Cantron, yes. That
it can be used as a preventative.
Yes, it's a fabulous preventative because it's such a powerful antioxidant. And also, it's antiviral, and that is one of the beauties of this treatment. If you go to my website and go to the prevention page, you'll see how I explain how to use Cantron against a virus, like a cold or a flu, and to see whether
how about against the so-called H1N1 virus?
No one knows whether or not it would be effective against that. From what I've seen, it's a broad-spectrum antiviral agent, and I would think that it would be effective against that. But I have
What do you think about that virus?
Well, it's very suspicious, of course, that...
Oh, you got my sarcastic tone of voice.
Yeah.
All right, hold on, Paul. I'm going to give out the number for call-ins because if anyone has a personal question, this is the man to talk to about alternatives to cancer cure. The call-in number is 888-815-9756. This is toll-free. I'll give it to you again. 888-815-9756 to talk to Paul Winter about what our subject tonight, alternative cancer healing and prevention. Sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but hopefully we've got some people who will want to come up with a couple of important questions.
No.
All right, so where does one acquire the... Well, I suppose everything is on your site.
Yes, at the bottom of every page that I've dedicated to an alternative cancer treatment, the contact information for the manufacturer is there. On my homepage, I have a table that you might have seen that compares 12 different alternative cancer treatments. And this table, which I call the comparison table, all of the numbers that, 1 to 10, different aspects of the treatment are rated from 1 to 10, all of the numbers are actually linked to the page where that cancer treatment, where you can read the details. For instance, there's a number 1, and it has a red background, and 1 is the worst, and this number 1 is underneath ease of use. And this is for 714X. And if you were to click on the number 1 to find out why is it so difficult to use, you would go to the 714X page, and you would be immediately taken to the section that says ease of use, and you can read that you have to inject yourself in your abdominal area in order to take this treatment. So it gets a number 1. I think it definitely gets
just
a number 1.
The thought of it makes me sick.
Yeah.
But being facetious here, I think it's wonderful that you've put that much research into it so that you can help people begin to consider what approach they're going to take, knowing that, of course, they're going to need some kind of a guidance besides this information. So are you suggesting that people come to the site, look at the alternatives available, and then seek out a naturopath?
I would always go to a naturopath before a conventional doctor for any disease. So my answer would be yes. A naturopath is a good way to go. I have written my website for people who want to go it completely alone, which is, of course, the extreme. But that way, all the information that they need is there. People can email me and ask me for alternative doctors in my area or in their area, or I have a list. There's not that many, and I also have a list of some clinics, and there aren't that many either. One of the things that I talk to people, I write about on my website is how to work with a conventional doctor. Sometimes you want to take alternative treatments. They're not that difficult to take, and you want to use the alternative doctor to find out what your progress is. Some alternative doctors won't do that. I also have information on my website where you can get independent tests, where you can mail in blood or urine samples.
There's just so much wonderful reference on your site to help people. It's a very powerful thing you're doing, and I'm really grateful to you for committing so much energy to helping people get this information.
Well, thank
Here's
you.
A question
thank
for you.
You. Yes.
How does this fit in with the health insurance, if we can even call it health insurance, programs in the United States particularly? Is alternative treatment covered by health insurance?
Very rarely. There are some alternative, there are some insurance plans that cover naturopaths now. So if a naturopath prescribes, let's say, pawpaw for you, then it's likely that that insurance company will pay for the pawpaw. But one of the nice things about alternative cancer treatments is that they're not that expensive. So you can treat yourself without losing your wallet. And
I just can't help but say these words, even though I try to be careful what I say sometimes. But I do think we've got to start really taking care of ourselves now and stop depending on the structures to do it for us, if everybody gets my drift. So it's important to start working on I know we're all working on these things, but do more to fortify the immune system. If there is an antioxidant that is this powerful, to find out about it, could there be side effects from taking this kind of supplement?
Well, let me tell you the story. The story is that, first of all, for Cantron, the dosage is 1/4 teaspoon from 4 to 6 times a day. So it's a very small amount of liquid. A woman one time drank an entire pint bottle of it. She didn't throw up. She didn't get sick. She did have diarrhea. That was it. That was the total side effect. You know, any supplement that's out there has to be examined for its toxicity.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the amount of it that you would be able to take before you had a toxic reaction is known, and you can get that from any manufacturer. And for something like Cantron, it's extremely high. It's on the level of milk, because your body just won't absorb much more than it can use. So,
like vitamin
the rest
C.
of it, yes. Exactly. Yes. Right. Very, you know.
And what is the base of this, of Cantron? Is this a plant-based supplement?
Cantron is not a plant-based. I don't consider it a plant-based, although everything, of course, can be found in nature. But it's not plant-based. It's more of a chemical nature, more of the electrolyte type of.
Electrolytes, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has electrolytes.
All right. I have a question for you, Paul. What do you have to say about the perennial question of whether or not to have a mammogram? You know, we women are both told that we're supposed to have one every year after, I think 45? Needless to say, I'm well over that age and I don't do them.
Yes, I wouldn't do them myself, but a mammogram is radiation. Radiation causes cancer. It's crazy. There was a study, and I bet you read about it. 5,000 women in Norway were divided up into two groups. One group had yearly mammograms. The other group had no mammograms until the end of this 5-year study. When they got done, the group that had the yearly mammograms had 20% higher incidence of breast cancer. 20%.
Wow.
It's staggering. And
this is such a debacle for women, because we are, you know, constantly battling this question of how do we diagnose the cancer if it's forming at an early stage, and being pushed into these mammograms, and it's a very personal decision of what to do about that. But again, it's like chemo is poison, poisons the body. Why is this good? Mammograms are radiation. If radiation is the problem. If cancer is the problem, radiation is not the solution. So
yeah.
It's really a strange thing that this is being forced on society.
Well,
let's say heavily promoted.
I'm going to ask you a question, Patricia. What are thermograms?
Thermograms?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
You caught me.
Oh, great. This is excellent. People need to know more about thermograms. This is infrared imagery that can detect breast cancer, and it has no side effects, and more naturopaths tend to be the people who bring those into their offices. More and more naturopaths are starting to use this, and in most metropolitan areas, you can find someone who is doing thermograms instead of mammograms.
And what about echograms? Can't they do an echograph for breast tissue?
I don't know if that works for early stages of breast cancer. I've not heard it being used, so I would
probably not, because echograph requires that you're looking at something that's got movement, like a vein flow or, of course, a uterus, an embryo.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at biology. Did you get on these kinds of details? But I like the idea of the thermogram, and I think it's really important that we start to get more aware of the alternatives that are out there, the naturopaths that are working in your area, and, you know, how good they are as well.
And do you know about the self-exam pads that a woman can put between her breast and her fingers that amplifies the size of a lump, helps a woman to find a lump?
I actually have one of these gloves because I was investigating this this field a while ago. I fortunately have never had to confront cancer, but it's a fabulous tool. It's I don't know how it works, but it's like a glove, and when you do your breast check, you can feel it's more sensitized, but I really don't know how that works. Are these available through your site, or do you have?
I'm in the process of examining these and trying to find out which one is the best, and then I'll put it on my website. And that's what I do, really. That's the type of thing I do, and I'm in the process of that right now. But of course, that's a long.
So I would like to suggest that also any of you who have information to add to Paul's ever-growing research on the subject of cancer and alternative healing should also get in touch with him. Paul, is your web your email also there accessible on the site?
Yes, it is there. At the bottom of the page, you can click on something that says comments, and then then you go to a page where I explain how I would like the comment to be made. You know, people sometimes say there's a problem. And they tell me what the problem is, but they don't tell me what the page is. And it's very difficult. My website is too big to find things. But anyone can email me by putting Paul in front of my website. So it would be paul@alternativecancer.us. And there's no space between alternative and cancer. Although you can put dash between
them. Now, earlier you were talking about the kinds of treatments you offer. Can you elaborate some of these things now when I asked you to hold that off until the end of our discussion?
Sure. Although I do want to clarify, I don't offer these treatments. I only describe them and compare them. And the comparison table The comparison table is a good place to start. You can go there and compare 12 alternative cancer treatments side by side. One of the problems is that when people start to examine different alternative treatments, they find that one page that talks about one treatment says, you know, talks about different aspects of the treatment. And they go to another treatment page, and they find that this other treatment is talking about aspects of the treatment that the other page wasn't covering. So you wind up trying to compare apples to oranges, and that I thought was a big problem that needed to be solved. So if you go to my comparison table, you can see that things like effectiveness and monthly cost is listed right there. And if you click on monthly cost, you'll go to the part of the page for that treatment where the manufacturer's contact information is listed. So that's how you can know where the manufacturer is.
I think one thing that really emerges from our discussion is that people rather than getting hung up on trying to figure out what would be the right treatment for them. That people are being told there are a number of alternatives here before you submit yourself to chemo and radiation. There are a number of possible alternatives that you need to explore. And this is very helpful and very hopeful, because until now, I don't know what the percentages are, but I imagine when you get the verdict from a doctor, you're in such distress that they start with the treatments that should be, and before you've really, you know it, you're immersed in these treatments, which I want to say that I'm not trying to tell people that there isn't validity in Western medicine, but by God, if we have alternatives to the torture of chemo and radiation, let's explore them. And even more, if we have, as Paul has been sharing with us today, possibilities to amplify the immune system and fortify the immune system to prevent cancer, tangible, interestingly researched, valid products like this Cantron. Cantron, have I got it right this time?
Yes, Cantron.
Okay. Yeah. Then let's start looking into this and advising people that there are other ways to deal with this ever rapidly spreading disharmony. I hate to call it disease, but of course dis-ease is the same word for
yes.
what I'm trying to express.
There is an immune system building, but I would like to point out that the immune system doesn't really have much effect on cancer. If you boost up your immune system and reduce the number of healing sites in your body, then you will actually improve or reduce your cancer risk. But it's not a direct connection. The connection actually, once again, goes through the pancreas. If you reduce the number of healing sites in your body, then you reduce the workload on the pancreas, which has to shut down these fast-growing healing cells because of all the healing that happens in our body, which has a lot to do with toxins and chemicals that we're exposed to. But,
and I understood from what you were saying earlier that sugar is a big, big culprit.
Huge. Yeah, if you look at the years when we first discovered sugarcane in Hawaii and then plotted that against the increase in use of sugar and the increase of cancer, you would see a tremendous correlation. Sugar causes cancer. Sugar weakens the pancreas, overloads the pancreas, and then cancer begins. Talking about the treatments, I like to divide the treatments into three groups. One group is immune building. The other group, and those are typically the mushroom formulas. Those seem to be the very best immune system builders, such as beta-glucan and MGM3. There are a lot of good muscle formulas, mushroom formulas out there now, and I'm currently evaluating one that's only $9 per bottle. Usually these beta-glucans and MGM3s are more around the $40 and $50 level.
Mm-hmm.
So there's immune system building to reduce the workload on the pancreas, and then there's pancreas building, which are usually enzymes. Dr. Kelly developed some enzymes, and his son is currently selling them. They're rather expensive. Wobenzyme is another pancreatic enzyme collection that's more reasonably priced and has been around for a very long time, a very high-quality product. And then there's a Dr. Gonzalez in New York that you can go to who will develop for you your own personally customized enzyme group. So those are the three ways you can go for enzymes for your pancreas. And then there are...
Okay. Believe it or not, Paul, would you believe that we're at the end of the hour? It seems like we've just started talking.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to unhappily start to wrap up our discussion tonight, because there's so much more I'd like to ask you and so much more you have to offer. But what matters here is that you can go out and tell anyone that you know who's confronting this problem. There are alternatives. Give them Paul's website. It's again www.alternativecancer.us. To be thinking about this prevention, to be thinking about helping others, to be thinking about what you can do to fortify your body. And, of course, it all goes together with a holistic lifestyle change, living better, believing you're healthy, using your exquisite mind to raise the vibration of your body and your being. And I'm sure that on Paul's site you can read more about that as well. Paul, it's been a wonderful conversation. Sorry for those little glitches, but that's just part of technology.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But it's been great talking to you, Patricia. And
you too, Paul. And I'm going to put a little blurb about your site in my newsletter so that more people can find out about what you're doing. And would like to ask you to please stay in touch with me. And as you develop new ideas and new research, let me know, and we'd love to have you back on.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay.
That was
and I'd love
show.
To also exchange links with you because I think what you're doing is very important.
Yes, let's do that. I'll write that up and send you an email on that.
Okay, great. All right, listen, everyone. Once again, you've been listening to Paul Winter, humanitarian, working to help people overcome and confront, prevent, and hopefully overcome cancer, alternativecancer.us. Please check him out. It's time for me to sign out. Next week, I've got one of my favorite subjects, the 2012 phenomenon, what the Mayans have got to say. It's a great book. It's called 2012 Biography of a Time Traveler, written by Stephanie South. And she's talking about the life of Jose Arguelles. And the book is subtitled The Man Behind the 2012 Phenomenon. So you want to turn in for that because I think it's going to be a fascinating hour like it has been today. So don't miss the show. Remember, please help those elephants. We human beings are supposed to be the ones with the brains. Let's get out there and take care of our animal community, because without the diversity of our species, biospecies, Earth looks pretty bleak. And we're the ones, as they say, with the highest intelligence. Sometimes I wonder. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to my guest, Paul. Thank you all for being there, using your light to raise the frequency of this planet. This is Patricia signing out. Don't forget to check me out on www.SyrianRevelations.net. Ciao, ciao. See you. Talk to you at least next Thursday. Bye-bye.